ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 17, titled Punishment and Reward of Kali, text number 31. Rajovacha Nate Gudake Shayashodharanam बद्धांजलेर्वै भयमास्ति किंचित् न वर्तितव्यं भवता कथञ्चन क्षेत्रे मदीये त्वमधर्म बंधुः। राजा उवाच। The king said, Na? Not. Te? Your. Gudakesha? Arjuna. Yashaha Dharanam? Of us who inherited the fame. Baddha Anjalehe? One with folded hands. Why? Certainly. Bhayam? Fear. Asti, there is. Kinchit, even a slight. Neither. Vartitavyam, can be allowed to live. Bhavata, by you. Kathanjana, by all means. Kshetre, in the land. Madiye, in my kingdom. Tvam, you. Adharma Bandhu, the friend of irreligion. The king thus said, we have inherited the fame of Arjun. Therefore, since you have surrendered yourself with folded hands, you need not fear for your life. But you cannot remain in my kingdom, for you are the friend of irreligion. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The personality of Kali, who is the friend of all kinds of irreligiosities, may be excused if he surrenders. But in all circumstances, he cannot be allowed to live as a citizen in any part of a welfare state. The Pandavas were entrusted representatives of the personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, who practically brought into being the battle of Kurukshetra, but not for any personal interest. He wanted an ideal king like Maharaj Yudhishthira and his descendants like Maharaj Parikshit to rule the world, and therefore a responsible king like Maharaj Parikshit could not allow the friend of irreligiosity to flourish in his kingdom at the cost of the good fame of the Pandavas. That is a way of wiping out corruption in the state and not otherwise. The friends of irreligiosity should be banished from the state, and that will save the state from corruption. Om Jnana Timranthasya Jnananjana Shalakhaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Ishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Sva Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Patakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajadam Sahagana Rakunathanyutam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam
Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Patan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpade Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prashabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyasya Kriba Sindhubhya Evacha Paditanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna. Here in Bhagavatam, it is very beautifully described what is dharma, what is the significance of dharma, and how the leaders of the society must protect dharma. So here the empowered representative is Maharaj Parikshit, who is carrying the fame of Arjun, the Pandavas. And as it is mentioned in the purport, the battle of Kurukshetra was enacted according to the supreme will of Krishna. It was something which is ordained by the Lord Himself, and where Pandavas took part as instruments, and they practically annihilated the miscreants of the world. Now, there are many examples in Shastra where dharma has been protected by various leaders of the society who followed the Vedic injunctions very strictly. So Pandavas, and here Maharaj Parikshit, and then following Maharaj Parikshit, even Janamejaya, they followed dharma. They set right example for the society how to keep dharma. Now, in this world, people do not know what is dharma. Even at least according to the Vedic standard, it's completely unknown to the society, and it is completely unknown to the leaders. So when it comes to the principles, the morality or law, it is a complete havoc in the society, because leaders do not know what is dharma, they don't know what is religiosity, they don't know what is morality, and they don't know what is actual laws and regulations are. So the leaders as well as the society is in complete ignorance. So this is a sad state of the current society. So when we try to see what is morality or what is dharma of this world, it is very interesting. First of all, in the ancient societies, morality and principles had some basis of some kind of scriptures. However, as the time progressed, even the morality became just a matter of tradition without any actual meaning or any actual objectives for life. So, for instance, in India, in the current remnants of Vedic society, people may follow some kinds of rituals, people may follow some kind of morality, but the actual principles, why do we have to follow such morality, that is completely unknown. So, it's just a matter of time, everything was thrown away. And now it is being completely going away from the society. Because the root cause, or why do we have to follow such a morality, that is unknown to the society. It is unknown to the people and it is unknown to the leaders. So it barely holds any significance in society. Now, here if we further see, there are laws in this world. Because the people assemble together, especially the leaders of the society, they come together and they generate some kinds of laws for the society. There is constitution, there are constitutional laws, there are criminal laws, there are civil laws. So when, take an example from India, when India got independence from the British, there was a big constitution committee. They had a lot of, a lot of people came together. I think the leadership was given to Ambedkar. And they made a huge constitution and a huge set of laws. And it was huge. Actually, it is one of the biggest code of law in this world in terms of number of pages. It is huge. But in terms of implementation, or in terms of the principles behind, or the driving force behind these laws, they are very shallow. They don't have deep meanings behind. And so, people do not follow them, and they are not educated behind the deep meaning behind the moral codes, behind the laws. They don't know why such things are present in the society. Now, in the modern age, it is the morality has become relative. It is a world of relative morality. So what is morality? It is unknown. So whatever is suiting one person, or whatever is suiting one circumstance, that is the morality. So that is the law. So the society is going in a wrong direction. So it is very obvious. We can see that. In fact, we were heard in one of the retreats a very interesting point. There is a paper proposed by Medical Ethics Committee in Melbourne University and a university in United Kingdom and Italy. So the essence of this paper proposed by Medical Ethical Committee was infanticide recommended. So infanticide recommended. So far the killing of the children, it was in the womb. So it was illegal to kill the growing up baby within the womb. So that was Kali Yuga progress so far. But the new recommendation is for infanticide. And of course there are conditions. It's not that any kids born could be killed. No. Well, the first point, moral point is that what is the difference between a kid in the womb and if he or she comes out from the womb? It's just a matter of a short period of time. He or she hasn't yet dreamt about a life. He or she hasn't thought about fulfilling his or her desires. There are no ambitions. There are no desires. So what's wrong in killing children? Just out from the womb, and it has to be done in a proper time, an auspicious time, not too late, where they grow up and they have their own desires and ambitions and plans for the life. Just before that, before everything, annihilate that life. So this is infanticide. And the reasons behind, there are reasons behind. One, economic reasons. If parents or the society cannot look after those children, then it is assumed that they have to go through a bad childhood, and later there can be problems, disturbances to the society, and they can cause damage to themselves. So this is a good option. That is one reason. Second, if the kid has a kind of diseases, maybe a terminal disease or handicap, where one's freedom for enjoyment is restricted right from the beginning of his or her life. So in that situation, what's the point having this child to be grown? So rather kill. So this was the proposal. And not only that, okay, there are examples from the past, from the ancient societies. So the quotations are from ancient Greek and Roman societies, where if kids have some serious problems in terms of their physical health, then there were means to dispose them. So there were quotations from the ancient societies too. So this was the proposal. So see the recommendation of the Medical Ethical Committee, and from Australia and also from Europe. So this is what happens when there are no solid principles or solid reasons behind morality or religious or the so-called religious principles or the laws. So the first thing that is lacking in the society is purpose of life. So the science has grown to some degree, not so far, but technology in fact has grown to a greater degree. But one of the questions that is unanswered is, what is the purpose of life? Okay, the life is there. There are amenities for the life. There are technologies which are supporting the life. There are sense gratification and its enhancement. But what is the whole purpose? Why there is life? Why do we need life? And why we have to live this life? What is the purpose behind the whole thing? So that is still unanswered. So just rationale behind the science or just general logic couldn't answer this question. So this is one of the significant problems of the modern world. That is, everything is there, but don't know what's the purpose of life. As it is mentioned, you know, we often tell this joke, you know, the pilot is making the announcement to the whole passengers. That is, good news is that the flight is flying in a very fast pace, but the sad news is that we do not know where we are going. So this is the situation of this world. That is, don't know where we are going. Now, why? So this is one part of it. So when one is caught up in the rituals, the so-called rituals of religion, or one is caught up in the so-called morality, it can last for some time. Often the traditions have lasted for some time. Sometimes it is for thousands of years the traditions have lasted. But as the Kali Yuga is progressing, there is a fast deterioration about all the kinds of culture and the traditions. And when there is no reasons, and which has to be grounded upon spirituality, when that is lost, then very fast morality is gone away, principles are gone away, religiosity is gone away, everything is gone away. So when we actually do not understand the root, that is, we are the spirit soul, and our purpose of life is to purify ourselves and to develop our relation to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, when this essential principle is forgotten, then morality or other principles have no value. It becomes just mere show, just a show. So there are show, the show of etiquettes, the show of ethics, the show of morality, the show of different laws, the show of regulations, but they lack substance. So it is our duty to educate people what's the actual purpose. So we think our philosophy, especially when we present the elementary philosophy, which we haven't actually realized, we are in the process of realizing, and we may have realization to some degree that we are not just the body or the mind, but we are spirit soul, separate. When we present this, we think it is quite elementary, but the world is lacking this basic principle. So as far as this is lacking, there is no question of holistic progress for this society. There's no question of that. So it is very interesting, even according to the science, when we talk about the consciousness which is coming out from the spirit soul, one of the questions, so the new scientists, they published a set of questions, unanswered questions till date, from the scientific perspective. So one of the questions is, what is the source of consciousness and what is it? It is unanswered. So even scientists, they accept, we do not know what is consciousness. Mm-hmm. So there, we are providing an answer to these kind of questions. That is, there is a source of consciousness, and it is the spirit soul. It is qualitatively different from matter. So unless and until we present this basic principle, other things do not make much sense. And as we can see here in the Vedic context, we have Maharaj Parikshit, who is empowered to enact according to the rules and regulations stipulated by the Supreme Lord himself. Because ultimately, the rules, the dharma has to come from the Lord Himself. So it is mentioned, dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. So the dharma is ordained by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that is coming through different sages. That is coming through different Mahajans. So this is spoken by this verse, dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. That is spoken by one of the Mahajans, that is Dharmaraj himself. So, when we receive the dharma according to, from the parampara, then it makes sense, because these are not just laws, but the reasons are given behind why do we have to follow and what is the purpose behind that. So then we tend to stick to these principles. But if we just present the principles without reasons, then it can become difficult. It may not last. Srila Prabhupada said it becomes sentiments. Prabhupada always compared the religion which is just sentiments, and when without any religion, without any practice, just mental speculation. He said, what is differentiated between the mental speculation and sentimental religiosity? So he wanted understanding behind, the knowledge behind our practices. So, as we can see, Maharaj Parikshit, when he was empowered to do so, when he was empowered to enact dharma, he actually didn't kill Kali personified, even though he is the friend of a religion. Because one who is surrendered must not be killed according to the Kshatra Dharma, according to the principles of a Kshatriya, and according to the principles of Dharma. So he didn't do so. However, very important point is that even he didn't allow Kali to stay in his kingdom. He said, there is no place for you, but you cannot remain in my kingdom, for you are the friend of a religion. So surrender doesn't mean that giving the free will or giving the freedom to do whatever he wants. So surrender means one who is surrendered is agreeing upon the conditions of the master. So here, Maharaj Parikshit will say where he can stay and where he cannot stay. And Kali personified is agreeing upon those reasons. And as we can see in the further statements, that he didn't allow in his kingdom, but the four places where the religiosity is broken, wherever there is money used, or the gold used, not in service of Krishna, or gambling, illicit sex, intoxication. These places, Kali is residing. So as we can see, as the time progressed, when the time of Maharaj Parikshit was over, and then Janamejaya, when the dynasty progressed further, then Kali found its place. So because the conditioned souls, they have their free will to enjoy separate from Krishna, and that's why they are here in the material world. And when they started enacting their free will in the wrong way, then Kali started growing, started flourishing. And now it is practically the other way around, because it is hard to find places where there is religiosity or where the four principles are followed. And we had to come to, basically speaking, we had to come to the ISKCON communities around the world if you want to see the performance of four regulatory principles. And that too, devotees have to come, we have to understand, and we have to start following these principles. So see how Kali Yuga has degraded. It is difficult to see where these basic principles, these principles are just bringing the conditioned being to human platform. It's not actually bringing one to transcendental platform, just to the human platform. So just to coming to the human platform, that itself has become quite difficult in Kali Yuga. And we need mercy of Guru and Krishna and Srila Prabhupada to follow four regulative principles strictly. Even just to follow strictly four regulative principles. So just come to the human platform, we need mercy of the devotees. We need mercy of Srila Prabhupada. We need mercy of our Guru. We need mercy of Krishna. So, the situation is very vulnerable. It's not so easy. If we don't have the shelter, then we are gone. So, then, on that platform, on that platform of basic principles, one can be situated firmly in chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So the Kali Yuga Dharma, the ultimate Dharma for this age of Kali is congregational chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So chanting is given so much of emphasis because it is a Yuga Dharma. So the chanting to be effective, we need to follow different principles. It is crucial. In fact, in the Vedic society, even the Dharma was not so simple. It is complicated. The law sets are always complicated, because there are different classes of people, and according to the class of people, there are different kinds of laws that has to be followed. According to Varna and Ashram, for Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra, for Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha and Sannyas, in terms of Dharma, religious duty is different. Paradharma, the ultimate principle, devotion service unto the Supreme Lord, that is one and the same for everyone. But the ashram specific or varna specific duties varies. So the set of rules which have to be followed in these 8 circumstances and the combination of these 8 circumstances are different. So that makes things complicated. So even when we just speak about application of dharma to a particular context is complicated. We can see even in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when son of Drona punished in that chapter, when Ashwatthama killed all the sleeping sons of Pandavas, Ashwatthama was caught by Arjun and Krishna, and he was brought in front of the assembly, where Yudhishthir was there, Bhima was there, Krishna was there, Arjun was there, and mother Draupadi was there. Then there is a whole analysis of the situation. What to do at this point? Arjun, he was ready to kill. And Krishna also initially instructed, okay, kill him. Because he has killed the 5 sleeping sons of Draupadi. Think about that. Then Bhimasen wanted to kill and Draupadi didn't want to kill. See, it was a complicated situation. Draupadi said, no. Don't kill. So both had their own arguments, their own valid points. On one side, he is not a Brahmana anymore because he has violated all the Brahmanical principles. He has taken a weapon and killed, that too in a complete irreligious way, that too kids, practically children. Then at the same time, other argument, but he is son of Guru. So he has the position of Guru, even though he has fallen down from his standards. So Bhima really wanted to kill Ashwatthama. And Draupadi made another important point which was based on compassion. And that was, as a mother, Draupadi had to go through so much of pain because all her 5 children were killed. And she thought, I had to go through such severe pain and think about the wife of Dronacharya, the mother of Ashwatthama, how much pain she would have to go through in this situation if we kill Ashwatthama. Because she already lost her husband, because that is battle of Kurukshetra, so she lost her husband. And now if she lose her son also, whose son is always considered the representative of the husband. So if son is also lost, then what would be her pain? So Draupadi didn't want her to go through the same kind of pain. So that was another reason. So finally, Arjuna was given, you know, he was on the spotlight where he had to make a decision considering different arguments. So it was a test of dharmic principles. So he took a very wise decision to kill him and at the same time not to kill him. And that was by chopping off the kundala, the head he had, the hair, yeah. He actually chopped that off. So in that way, you know, he was actually not killed, and at the same time he was not killed. So he was actually humiliated. That was the kind of the situation. He was humiliated. So the application can be quite complicated. So that's the reason we have acharyas who can delineate how the principles have to be applied in a given circumstance. So Srila Prabhupada very wisely has presented the principles for Krishna consciousness. Because even in our Vaishnava traditions, even the tradition we are following in the footsteps of Goswamis, the principles are enormous, too many. So Hari Bhakti Vilas, you know, which is guiding the Vaishnava etiquette, the principles of worshipping the deity, it is said that it is too complicated and so many. One time Srila Prabhupada said, if you actually understand what are the principles that a Vaishnava must follow in terms of normal life and in terms of worshipping the deities, etc., he said one would faint. That many. So it takes an acharya to present what are the principles to be followed and what details we had to follow. So when Srila Prabhupada presented Krishna consciousness, our deity worship, our process of Krishna consciousness, everything, it is customized for the Kali Yuga needs of the current society without compromising any principles as such. All the principles are there, but the details are adjusted according to the time, place and circumstances. And only an acharya can do this. That is a very important point. We cannot just adjust many things. We need a proper guidance from acharyas to adjust the details. Otherwise, we can miss the point. Because acharyas know the principles, means they know the actual purpose behind this, and they can see the whole thing in a holistic way. So when they make the adjustments, it will not lose the potency. But when we do haphazardly, we can lose the potency. We can go in a completely different direction. It is just like it could be a slight deviation in the beginning, but in due course of time, that deviation can become wider and wider. So it becomes something else. So that is a very important point regarding principles. So the last point in the purport is how strictly Maharaj Parikshit followed this dharma. He said there is no place for Kali. So that is a very important point. That is, there is no compromise. When there is religiosity, there is no question of compromise. So it's not the standard of a leader to compromise on principles. So we can see in both aspects, in a social circumstance, we have to see a leader shouldn't compromise on principles, which is not the case now. And in our spiritual circle also, we have to make sure, because we are the examples of dharma, so we have to make sure that we are also not compromising on principles. So that is a day-to-day challenge in our devotional life, that the Kali Yuga influences can push us to break principles to one degree or the other. So we need strong sangha, we need strong sadhana, then we can actually go forth, you know, following the rules in the proper fashion. So I stop here and see if there are any comments or questions. Yes. In? Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, there's no administrator at this point of time. He made a point that there are no administrators at this point to enforce dharma, or it takes an administrator to enforce dharma.
So how much value do you need to
How much?
Value do you need to put
on dharma? Yeah, dharma, what is given in Prabhupada, we had to follow. That is the bottom line. To my understanding, yes. If we are not initiated, are we allowed to wear a tilak? Generally, just a comment on that. Generally, in terms of Vaishnava dress, general standard what we try to follow is when we follow principles and when we practice, then we actually wear Vaishnava cloth and wear tilak, etc. Because If we do not follow any principles and if we just dress up as a devotee, there is a danger to it because it can be a very wrong preaching. So that's the only thing, that's the thing we had to actually take care of. Yeah. Yeah. Very, very good point. We had to understand this point in the context. Lord Chaitanya says in the Shikshashtaka that there are no hard and fast rules in chanting the holy names. So, yes, we can see anyone can chant holy name in any circumstance. Even if one is following principles or not, one can chant the holy name. But we are in a position where we want to get the result of this chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So when we want to get the actual result of chanting of this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, then we have to follow certain things. And which are they? Mainly the Shastra says the 10 offenses against the holy name. If we want to get the bare the result of chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, then we have to follow the 10 offenses. We have to avoid these 10 offenses. Otherwise, as we chant in the morning, Bahu Janma, Kari Hari Sravanam Kirtanam Tapudana Paye Na Krishna Pade Prema Dhan. That is, many lives, birth after birth, we can chant this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, but it will not bear the fruit of love of Godhead, which is the ultimate result of this chanting. Why? Because we are offending the holy name. So if you want the result, yes, we had to avoid these 10 offenses. So that is also there. Yeah. Anyone can chant any time, that is there. But you know, but if we do not, if we are actually going against the holy name while chanting, that won't give us the fruit. Yeah.
Yeah. Ajami was not following the principle. Ajami was not following the principle.
He was not following any principle, but he chanted, so he got some effect, but still. That's the interesting thing. He got the first effect was he got purified. All the karmas got removed. He was not following any principles. But by the mercy of the Lord, he could see his abominable position then. So then he started following the principles. After his near-death experience, he started following all the principles. He went to Haridwar. Then he went, you know, went about his devotional life and he perfected and he went back to God. Yeah, thank you. Yes, ma'am. This is specifically regarding in terms of ashram, the essential principle. In Kali Yuga, in this age, many things are quite generalized, so it's not so strict. But in terms of brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyas, the Veda says the dharma of brahmachari is to study Vedas. That is the primary, the means of purification as a primary. It is mentioned as study, shastra. It doesn't mean that other ashrams people don't, you know, don't study, but that is emphasized. Then in terms of grihastha, the dana is the main thing. Means giving in charity. That is one of the primary dharma of grihastha. The reason is in grihastha life there is accumulation, and when one gives away the accumulation, then the attachment is gone. So one gets detachment. So that is a good platform to do devotional service. So that is the second dana. And for a vanaprastha, it is considered the austerity tapa. Tapa is the essential guiding principles, because he has gone through the grihastha life and now perform austerities and go through the stage of sannyas. And sannyas, it is the principle is satyam. Satyam means being fixed in the absolute truth. So being fixed in Krishna consciousness. So that is the principle of sannyas. This is the four stages. But it doesn't mean that. But for us, the means of purification in all any ashram, it is chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. But you know, in the detailed principle, if you see, those principles are based upon these four aspects. Then in terms of the other four varnas, you know, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra, that's we know. Brahmana is the head of the society, so They give the guidance. That is there. They, you know, the six aspects of Brahmanas are there. And about Kshatriya, they are the administrators, so the duties are different. And Vaishyas, they are the merchants and the agriculturists, so their dharma is different in terms of their occupation. And finally, Shudras, they are meant to serve. So this natural division is there in any society. So this is the general principles of Varnashram, very briefly. Is that fine? Okay. Any further questions? Okay, thank you very much. Granthrashima Bhagavatam ki, Shri Prabhupada ki, Jai Gaurav.